Good morning. I'm Hannah. Thanks for the introduction, Ali. And I need some helpers this morning. So if you're a child in the house, maybe at primary school or that kind of age, maybe you're in youth, if you want to come and grab a little seat on the front, just a few volunteers, come down, maybe bring your grown-up with you as well, if there's anyone from nursery. If not, I'm going to move round with my mic to ask questions, all right? So if you're not here, I'm coming to you. Whilst anyone who wants to comes down. I've got one. Yes, I've got one. I'm going to read us our passage for today. So, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. All right, so kids and youth, thank you, youth. I just thought I'd kick off today by asking you if you could give me any ideas of things that are gentle. So maybe what kinds of animals, what kind of things come to mind when you think about the word gentle? What kind of things are gentle? Got any ideas? What do you think?
A rabbit.
A rabbit. That's a good one. Anything else that's gentle? Can you think of anything else gentle? What other kinds of things are gentle?
A butterfly.
A butterfly, nice. Any other thoughts?
Bed.
Bed. Yeah, I agree. Nice. All right, well, let me show you what I thought of when I thought of the word gentleness. You got me there. I thought of a rabbit, soft, fluffy rabbit. I thought of babies. I think babies are quite, you know, gentle. Not always, but, you know. That little pot, that's some hand cream, soft skin. I was thinking, you know, gentle, soft skin. And I've got a doormat up there, to be a doormat. Now, if English isn't your first language, this might be a bit of a strange idea. But when we talk about someone being a doormat, we're talking about like letting people walk all over you, like letting people influence you or take advantage of you. For some of us, maybe, when we think about gentleness, we think like, oh, it's a bit like being a doormat. Maybe you just let people, you know, squash you a bit. So I don't know how those kinds of things make you feel. Maybe some of you love fluffy bunnies, little babies. Maybe some of you are not that keen. Maybe some of you think, oh, some of that looks a bit childish. But what I want to tell you this morning is that Jesus actually said, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. He's talking about himself. And then somewhere else he says, blessed are the meek. And that is the same word. It's actually blessed are the gentle. So that's what Jesus says about himself. He says, I am gentle. What do you think that means? Does that mean Jesus was like a soft bunny? Does it mean that Jesus uses Nivea cream for soft skin every day? Does it mean that when Jesus was a baby, he never cried and always slept? Does it mean that Jesus was a bit of a doormat? I don't think so. I don't think that's what Jesus meant when he said, I am gentle. So let me tell you a little bit about what I think the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Galatians, means. When he uses the word gentleness, he's got four ideas in mind. The first one is this idea of like caring treatment of people, not being forceful. The second idea for Paul is the idea of like being humble, not asserting your rights or not asserting yourself. The third idea is around like respecting other people, not using them selfishly, not using them for your own ends. And the fourth and big idea for Paul is about copying what he calls the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So, we see that Jesus is gentle by the way he lives. We see that he welcomes and respects the little kids and the youth who want to come to him. We see in his life that he cares for and restores the vulnerable women. We see that he humbly chooses to go and spend time with people who are weak and sick. And the way that Jesus acted really surprised people. One way that Matthew describes Jesus is as our king who's coming to us humble and mounted on a donkey. And he's talking about an Old Testament prophecy of how the Savior King would come. And it's really unexpected. It's not the kind of king people were expecting. Jesus' kingdom is like really different to most human kingdoms, where it's all about strength, or all about who's the biggest, or maybe the most independent, or the most ambitious. Jesus' kingdom was different. And do you know what happened to Jesus, who was the gentle king? Well, the strong and the selfish and the power-hungry kingdoms put him to death. He was executed on a cross. Now, there is more to that story, but I'm pausing there for now, because I think we've understood a little bit more about what it means to be gentle like Jesus. We're going to keep unpacking that. But maybe to some of you right now, it sounds a little bit weak, a little bit risky. So I've asked my friend Carolyn to come and help me with an illustration to learn about gentleness. I said to her, one of the instruments I've always wanted to learn since I was a child was the violin. So I just asked her if she would let me have a go this morning and if I could just, you know, try it out. So she's just going to show me where to hold it. So maybe I'll take this first. It goes under my chin, is that right?
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, okay, very good. Okay, and then I've been told hold this very carefully. Don't touch the hairs.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Okay, right. Effort number one. Put my chin on it. All right, are you ready, guys? Cover your ears. Oh! Shall I be a bit more gentle?
Yeah. Another go.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Take two. I think I need to let someone show me how to do it properly. Can you show me?
It's a bit quiet, to be fair.
All right. Let's see how someone who's spent many years learning to play a violin does it. A big round of applause. Well done, Carolyn. Thanks for your help. As you can see, to make beautiful music on the violin, you can't just like force it, just go strong like I did first time. But being gentle with it didn't mean just like playing it really weakly and getting no sound or just a little squeak like I did second time. The kind of gentleness Carolyn needs to play the violin is actually a kind of strength under control. So you need to know how to hold it. You need that arm to be quite strong to hold it up for a long time. You need to know how much pressure to apply. You need to know where to push down the strings. I didn't get that right. And you need to know how to gently slide that delicate bow over them. So that kind of gentle strength is a skill, and it takes a lot of practice. And I think that being gentle like Jesus is hard work. I think we actually need a lot of that inner strength to control our emotions and to respond gently to other people. It takes practice. But I want to tell you this morning that it takes something more than practice as well. I think we actually need Jesus to change us from the inside out. We actually need to have inside of us the humble and the gentle heart of Jesus. Now, the good news is that Jesus said to his followers that his Father would send the Holy Spirit to live in our hearts by faith. That means the Spirit of the Almighty God, the creator of the whole universe, lives inside all of us who put our trust in Jesus, lives inside you and me. And you know what? That invitation is open to anyone. Like Marcus said this morning, that is open for anyone who wants to put their trust in Jesus. The Spirit of the Almighty God wants to make his home in your heart. And what did we read this morning? We read that gentleness is actually a fruit of that Spirit that lives inside of us. So let me pick up the story for a minute that I was telling you about Jesus, the gentle king. We left it, if you remember, with Jesus, the gentle king, killed by the harsh world, which hated the way he lived differently. Jesus seemed just like a doormat, squashed, trodden on. It kind of looked like his gentle and his unselfish love had lost. But that isn't the end of the story. I hope you know the amazing, amazing truth is that God raised Jesus to new life by the power of his Spirit, and Jesus' new kingdom of gentle love is what is going to last forever. So when we choose to follow Jesus, when you and I choose to follow Jesus, it also means going through a kind of death and a kind of new life. In verse 24, which is just behind me on the screen, Paul reminds the Christians that he's writing to that if the Spirit has come to live in our hearts, then that means we've like crucified our old selves. It means that we've got rid of our old, harsh and selfish ways. And then the Spirit of Jesus comes to change us from the inside out. And it gives us a whole new life. And you know what? We actually start to look a little bit like Jesus. And the kingdom of that gentle King Jesus actually starts breaking into this world, this harsh world, right now, through you and through me. Now, still doesn't mean it's easy. Phil will tell you, I struggle every day with choosing between the gentle way of King Jesus and the harsh way of the world. But if we want to be the hands and feet of that gentle King Jesus to other people around us, it means we're going to have to ask for the Spirit's help every day. So verse 25 on screen, the second bit of this says, we need to live by and keep in step with the Spirit. Just really practically, that means like reading the Bible every day and letting the Spirit help you to learn Jesus's way and to love Jesus's way. And keeping in step with the Spirit means praying every day that the Spirit, as he fills us, would give us the strength to let Jesus's gentle heart grow in us. So we've got a bit of an idea. We know we want to be gentle like Jesus. We know gentleness isn't weakness, it's strength under control. And we know that we need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, get rid of our old selfish ways and be filled with the Spirit instead. But the question's still there. How can we actually practice being gentle like Jesus? And this is the point, the last point when I'm going to need a few volunteers of various kinds of ages and stages, right? So get yourself ready to do some volunteering. Each person only needs to read out one sentence for me, okay? So you're just going to come and read one sentence. So I'm looking for a bunch of people. Firstly, I'm looking for a child. Nice. Yeah, I did kind of lead you into that a bit. All right, if you come and line up just here, you can hold that, but don't say anything into it yet, all right? You'll be the first. Anyone else, come and line up along the front of the stage. So next up, I need a teenager. Any teenagers in the house this morning who'd like to put themselves forward or be volunteered by their friends? I'm looking. I'm watching out. Tess, you've been volunteered. Come on, Tess. All right. I'm also looking for a student, someone who's at college or university, who's, you know, it doesn't matter what year you're in, but someone who's studying at the moment. I know there's some in the house today. They might be volunteered by their friends too. Yes, thank you. All right. Next up, I need a parent. So if you guys line up along the front of the stage, you move along a bit, great. I need a parent who's still got some kids living at home with them. So anyone who's a parent who's got some kids, come on, Sam. Okay, wonderful. That's what we like to see. Next up, I need someone who is a worker, someone who's employed, someone who's, you know, working. That's their day-to-day. They're in a job. Anyone who works in this church? Oh, thanks, Ruth. That's great. All right, you might need to shuffle up. I've got two more. I need someone who is a family member. By that, I just mean you have parents, or you have siblings, or you have aunts and uncles or cousins. You're connected to someone somehow in the world. Really, this is a call for any adult. Anyone. Thanks, Kat. All right, I've got one more. This is just a general volunteer. They're going to represent a particular group of people for me. So one more, just general volunteer. Yeah. Can I have a man? Can I have a male volunteer, please? Anyone out there? Yes, thank you. All right, so let me just pass along here. That's your one. So you're just going to read the sentence, and I'm going to say which grouping you're for. To the rest of you who are stood just around the room, just look at these folk and think about the different groups they're representing, and think about like which one maybe you relate most closely to, and then listen out for what it might look like for you to show gentleness in your life today. So we're going to start off. This is what it might look like for anyone who's a child right now. Kick us off and then pass the mic along.
To, better kids. When someone takes our toys or the TV remote, we can be gentle by asking them to share instead of getting angry.
Thanks. What about for a teenager?
When our emotions overwhelm us, we can be gentle by taking a deep breath and asking someone for a hug instead of slamming our bedroom doors in their face.
Sounds relatable. What about for someone who's a student?
To students, when we're feeling insecure, we can remember that God delights in us. This will help us show gentleness by focusing less on ourselves and taking interest in other people.
Thanks. What about for the parents in the house?
To parents, when we're exhausted and our kids are arguing, we can ask the Spirit to give us new strength to respond to them with the gentleness of Jesus and the words that bring us peace.
Yeah. For those of us who are working.
To workers, when we're under pressure at work, we can be gentle by putting the needs of our colleagues first and doing what we can do to help them, rather than focusing on making ourselves look successful.
A hard one. And for those who are, any of us who are part of families.
To family members, when we're making decisions together, we can be gentle by going with what someone else prefers and choosing to make that work instead of pushing for our own way.
That's a tough one. And finally, we've got Paul reading on behalf of any of us who might struggle to be kind to ourselves.
To any of us who struggle to be kind to ourselves, when we can't escape the negative voices in our head, we can be gentle to ourselves by telling those voices that God forgives us and takes delight in us.
Thank you. Now, finally, if you all want to stand, you're all volunteering this morning, we're going to read out this last one on screen together. So for all of us, let's read this out together. We can be gentle like Jesus by asking his Spirit to change us from the inside out, trusting that true strength is shown in unselfish love instead of dominating other people. Now, give these guys a round of applause. Stay standing. Thanks, guys. Pop your papers on the stage. And I'm going to invite the band to come back up. So stay standing. Actually, the band are on their way. As they just get into position, maybe just close your eyes for a moment and just ask God to convict you by his Spirit of where and how you need to put more gentleness into practice in your life. Just say to God, God, is there someone or a place where I need to be more gentle like Jesus?